sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, and I want to wish everybody a very happy and safe Independence Day, and tell you what we're talking about today. We're talking about how to determine the price you should list your house for.
Now, that is different than necessarily the value of your house or what somebody's going to pay for it. Is that correct?
What should your list price be? What are the strategies there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not every house is the same, is it?
No.
Getting to appraisal is one of the issues in pricing a home. How do you determine that influence of what a house will appraise for a loan in pricing?
Appraisal is a little bit different than other valuations of a house. The appraisal is based on, well, it's different in different types of market. But in a stable market where homes are really not going down much and not going up much in price, purchase prices, the appraisal is based on historical data in a very specific geographic region. So if it's in a neighborhood, let's just use Windsor Hills for an example, or Frolic Meadows, or West Winds in Norman. I mean, you can go any, if it's in the neighborhood, you search the neighborhood first. And if you have three comparable properties, somewhat within about 10 or 15% of the size of the house, and the same features as the house, you don't want to compare a 5.5 bathroom to a 2-bathroom house. You don't want to compare a 4-car garage to a 1-car garage. So somewhat the same features in the same neighborhood, and look at those values and see what they were. Ideally, you need a high and a low. You need to be sandwiched between the lowest and the highest. But occasionally, your house is not quite as good as even the lowest. Maybe the very lowest that sold had new windows, had hardwood floors, no longer had popcorn ceilings, has an in-ground concrete pool, new light fixtures, replaced bathrooms. Well, I mean, if the lowest one has all that and you don't, they're still going to give you a lesser value. They're not sandwiching you in between the low and the high.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about it, listener, as far as like a sandwich, if you can find two that are great comparables right above you, two that are great comparables right below you, and you can stick your property in the middle, then that valuation is going to have a lot more meat. It's going to have a lot more substance to it. But sometimes it's difficult to find comparables.
It's weighted differently if it's very, very close to the subject property, say, next door.
Yeah.
Right across the street. You get the appraiser can give more weight to a property that's most like and closest geographically to the subject. And an appraiser typically only uses three comparables. So the appraisal form is set out to where you have your left-hand side is your subject property, and then your three comparables. And the first comparable property is the one that is most like and given the most weight, and then on down the line. Now, sometimes they will use six comparables. I've seen as many as 12 comparables.
In what situation would they use that many comparables?
If there are no properties, say, within 10 or 15% of the size of the subject property. Nowadays, I mean, that's just an example. They will have other reasons, and I'm not an appraiser, but I pay a lot of attention to appraisals. And I stayed at a Holiday Inn once. So what they do is they end up finding the three best, and sometimes they will support that further with three others. It's unusual to find more than six.
Okay.
Highly unusual.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they'll use pending properties. In an accelerating market.
Now, that's something we're seeing more right now, mm-hmm. or we have been in the past few months, mm-hmm. is using pending.
Right. And like I had an appraiser tell me, well, I can use pending properties because these might close before ours closes, but at least they show an indication in the market as to what people are paying for their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how do you get that? I said, you're assuming if it sells in 0, 1, or 2 days that it sold for list price, aren't you? He said, yes, that's exactly it. I said, well, have you given thought to the fact that there could have been multiple offers and it sold for well above list price? And he really hadn't thought about that.
Really?
Well, I mean, and for an appraisal, he cannot substantiate that.
Right, he can't substantiate that.
So he can't use that inflated value.
Yeah.
So, that's one way to look at how you should price your property. Price it for a price that you know you can get it appraised for.
That's key. That's one of the keys, but there's many more keys to this, and we're going to be talking about them, and we're going to talk about maybe you'll hear what's special about your house and how it should be priced when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about how to price your home within this market. And Becky, we're kind of seeing a shift in the market, potentially. We're not sure yet, but we're seeing where everything used to have multiple offers on it, or nearly everything did. We're having kind of a mixed match happen right now, wouldn't you say?
We have a leveling out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you my opinion.
Right.
Okay.
It is just that.
And I'll tell you what's causing that leveling out of the market is greedy sellers. Sellers pricing their properties too high. That's why we're talking about that on this show. If you price your property too high, you end up getting no offers on your property. But if it's just out of reach, That's a huge mistake. But if you price it at a price it will appraise for, and if it's in a demand neighborhood, school system, the type of home it is, whatever, there are buyers out there looking for most any type home, it will push the price up likely above what it will appraise for. And there we come in with our appraisal gap guarantee. And we can talk about that. But first, let's talk about other ideas of why sellers get in their head a value on their home.
Well, this is something that I think, Becky, it used to be that people would call into the office and ask you, dear broker, whose knowledge about the real estate business, how much is my home worth? That was kind of a blank slate question.
We still get a lot of that, but they've been tainted a little bit.
More often than not, we have people who call in that go, well, Realtor.com or the
my
Z
Zestimate.
Word.
My Zestimate says it's worth
says that my home is worth $5.3 billion. Can I sell my home for this amount? You know, They come in with this number first. How do you handle that when someone calls in with a number up front?
Well, many times I walk into a listing appointment with the Zestimate page right on top because it's there. I might as well talk about it because that's the seller's already looked at it. They've already looked at their assessed value by the county assessor. They've looked at Realtor.com. They've checked to see what their seller's home is listed for, and sometimes what they've heard the seller's house sold for.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these ideas that they are pretty well on top of it. They know what their house is worth. And in reality, Zestimates are, it's just an algorithm, and it's based on public record and MLS listings. Okay? Our MLS has not sold the sold data, and that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, and I mean, you can check public record individually, each house, and see what they've sold for. But public record isn't always correct. I mean, like the square footage of my home, according to public record, is 600 square feet off. Now, I happen to know how big my house is because I built it. I saw the drawings. It was built to plan. So that is just an error. And like the number of bathrooms, somehow they've missed two bathrooms in my house. Well, that's okay, but it's not correct is what I'm saying.
Right.
Now that's just my house.
Right.
Many houses we will look at and they will not be what we're looking at. In fact, I just listed a house that has been listed previously by a different broker and it was an unsuccessful effort to sell. And they listed it for 1.5 bathrooms. Well, it's a 2-bathroom house. I'm not sure where they got the 1.5 bathrooms. Maybe it says that on the tax record. I can't really recall. But the number of bathrooms is a big deal on a house.
Absolutely. The things that affect the house, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, the square footage, the type of garage it has, whether it's 1, 2, 3-car garage.
Well, and the quality of construction.
And that's the part that no algorithm is going to be able to see.
No.
And we see all the time of are the windows of quality windows or have they been replaced, especially things
or
that were built.
Have they been replaced with non-quality windows?
Right. Right. So I went and I was showing houses yesterday and was looking in around the Lake Hefner area with a client and house that was remodeled, done well in a lot of ways and done kind of awkwardly in other ways. And as we were looking, I then asked the buyer, well, what do you think about the windows? I hadn't even looked at the windows, like looked at everything else about the house. The windows were still single pane, built in the early 1960s windows. They had changed marble. They had put marble in the kitchen and did all these fanciful things, but the windows were still original.
Well, what's
value is very
even worse
different.
Than that usually is the old aluminum single pane windows with the storm windows that are in disrepair attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they slam down. They won't hold open. People have them propped up with rulers and dowel sticks. And
and that affects the value, where you can have a house that is just a couple houses down from that who have replaced all those with modern, insulated, energy-efficient windows. Makes a difference.
Well, it does make a difference. And it makes a difference as to the not just the quality of the build. You can have houses in two different neighborhoods. In one neighborhood, they're the same size. However, they don't end up being the same quality. One neighborhood's a higher quality than a different, mm-hmm. than a neighborhood very close by that has the same size houses. And the example I use on that, when sellers will tell me, well, I said, how'd you come up with your price? Well, these properties right across here sold for this. And they have four bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, a 3-car garage. And I say, well, they also have an island kitchen, an above-ground storm safe, a 12-pitch roof instead of a 7 or 8 pitch roof. They've got the crown molding. They've got porcelain tile as opposed to ceramic. I mean, there's different levels of construction, and it's called the Q level, the quality level, and it goes from 1 to 5, if I'm remembering that right. Condition, there's condition, it goes from 1 to 4, and quality from 1 to 5, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly numbers. The appraisal will call that out. So you were talking, what you were talking about was actually condition as opposed to quality of build. And so the condition of the property being older, popcorn ceilings, beat up walls, that kind of stuff, cracks in the driveways, that's condition. But the higher pitched roof, the 8-foot doors as opposed to the standard 6'8" doors, the enormous windows, floor to ceiling, as opposed to just an operator window in the living room. That's quality of build.
So when you come into a neighborhood that has kind of a it's been that part of it has been redeveloped and part of it's not. Like we see that a lot around in downtown area, where you'll have some of the homes will be completely redone and it's priced one way, and then a house next door is completely 1920s original, and it's priced, you know, $150,000 less. We're going to be talking about how do you price it when everything is kind of mismatched. And what happens with all your updates that you have done? Are they worth what you have put into your home? We'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins. And thank you for spending your Saturday morning on this July 4th weekend with us. And if you want to listen to the show at any point in time, you can subscribe to the podcast through the iHeartMedia app or anywhere that you subscribe podcasts. Just Google Becky Ivins or Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It'll pop up and hit subscribe, and you can listen at any point in time and not miss a show. Because sometimes we reference things that we've had a conversation back to, and you want to go back and listen to that. Like last week with the guys from SWBC. Boy, if you're talking about getting a loan and learning about all that process, that'd be a great show to go back and listen to.
There so you go.
Today we're talking about the valuation of your home. It's time for our Word of the Day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 728-3700. Becky, our Word of the Day is value.
Well, we've done value before as our Word of the Day, but when you're talking property value, you're talking the worth of a property, what someone holds as worth. And when the forces of supply meet the forces of demand, then you are on a level playing field and the market bears the value of the property. Now, we're not so much there right now. We have been in an accelerating market to where we have had much more demand than supply, so property prices are pushed upwards. So what we're talking about today is the value of a property as the list price, like what list price should you use for your property. So we've kind of talked about already the assessor's value. The assessor places a value based on one-year-old historical data, is what Larry Stein uses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An appraiser does tries not to go back that far unless there are no comparables. But an appraiser usually in a market like today looks at 90 to maybe 180 days back because the property prices are changing too fast. So if you look at something that's a year old, it's not going to reflect the current marketable value of the property. Okay? So
when you have a very unique property, Becky, I mean, this is where your experience really comes in. Because I'm going to say that as in doing this, if I go into a neighborhood that for the most part people call a cookie cutter neighborhood, it just means the features are similar. Things mm-hmm. that you can look at over the size of the home are similar. There are only about, you know, four or five different models of homes that are in that neighborhood. It's fairly straightforward to price one of those, depending, really just depends upon the condition, but they're most likely going to be comparables.
Well, and in today's market, most all neighborhoods have 10 or 12 models that they go by, but they're very similar.
Very similar.
But when you get a property that is not similar, is acreages are almost always like this. Unless they're in like a gated or an acreage community. But acreages are a little more difficult to do because people will go, well, an acre out here sells for about $10,000 an acre. Well, if it's 1 acre, it might sell for $10,000. However, 5 acres might only sell for $20,000. So it's not equal. It's a building site. And a building site and a building site. You can't give equal value to each acre if you only have one building site on that acre. Okay? And you can't always divide. In fact, usually you cannot divide into smaller acreages. It's unusual to be able to do that. It can be done sometimes, but it's unusual
mm-hmm.
Because there's not the infrastructure to support smaller parcels of land. So you have to, like on an acreage, you may have someone that's got 1 acre or 5 acres or 60 acres in the same square mile. And then you may have a house built in the 60s, another two or three or four in the 90s, and then you've got one that was built 2 years ago. Well, you've got to figure out what's the one that was just built 2 years ago. That's the one that they want to sell. Well, you have to go outside of your neighborhood or square mile to find property like this, similar to this, or you have to adjust for age. Appraisers don't typically adjust for age. They go outside and find another property that is more in keeping with the age, because there's a lot of difference in a 60s house, a 90s house, and a 2020s house. There's a lot of difference in just plumbing, electrical, size of the rooms, the layout of the house, the roof pitches. There's a lot of difference. Insulation, you know, has really changed over the last few years.
Does ceiling height affect the price of a home, or does it just affect the appeal of a home?
Well, it affects the appeal of the home, which affects the price of the home. I listed a house one time that was had been listed for like $850, and then another realtor took it for $750, and it went down to $650, and I'm talking $100,000, $650,000, and the it didn't sell. Then they called me, and I went out, and they were shocked to hear what I had to say, but I said, you're not getting over $500,000 for this house because it has 8-foot ceilings.
Throughout the whole house was 8-foot ceilings?
Well, yes, because it was a house built
in the 60s. 60s, okay.
That had, and it didn't have a garage. It had original plan, converted the 2-car garage into somewhat of a great big office combined room or something like that. And I'm going, it doesn't matter that it has 8 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms. It's got 8-foot ceilings, and that is going to limit the value of that property. Now, the property, by the way, was breathtaking. It had a huge pond on the back of it, and growth and undergrowth around that pond was really spectacular.
Just beautiful.
Yes, it was.
So the land was of unique value and just wonderful.
Yes, but but unless you're going to raise the roof literally on that house, you're only getting a certain amount of money out of it.
Yeah.
But if you explain that to people, why? Because it had everything that these other houses that had sold for $750,000, $800,000. The floor plan had all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the aesthetics of the home did not. It was all in one story. It was a huge house, which is awesome. But usually a great big house like that, say you've got 8 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms, part of those bedrooms and bathrooms are upstairs.
People expect it to be 2 levels.
Right, and they expect higher
ceilings. Yeah.
Taller doors.
Well, I know one of the questions that I've heard you ask to sellers when we've met with them is really about the homes you're going to be competing with when you're selling your house.
Right.
So it's kind of like, dear seller, if you were about to spend $700,000, here's the homes you have to choose from.
Which one would you look at?
Which one would you look at?
If I present you with 5 and say we need to see 3 of these,
yeah,
which one are you going to eliminate?
And this is a big point of working with a seasoned realtor who knows what they're doing, because you should look at what homes are you competing with.
Well, and when you say seasoned realtor knowing what they're doing, a lot of us have been around a while and have a lot of experience, but it's expressing your knowledge to the seller of the property in a way where they can understand that. And just so you know, none of us want to sell your house for less money than it's worth. We want to get what it's worth plus a few thousand dollars.
We want to maximize your value. We want to maximize the value on the other end. And figuring out that is the key. We'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move on this July 4th weekend, where it's
hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deals brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico.
Well, and I'm going to eat there today, by the way. It's a great day to just go by and get you some tacos.
Absolutely.
So
there's nothing more American than tacos. And I mean that. I really mean that.
Well, our smoking hot deal is in Brenton Hills on 155th Circle. Brenton Hills is just east of Western Avenue on 150th, and then you go to the north. It is a 3,800 square foot house, 4 bed, 3.5 bath, 3 car, nice big 3 car garage, and it's $385,000. So if you're looking at $385,000, that's a pretty good house.
That's a great deal. Now, I think last year I helped someone buy a house on, I want to say it's 154th,
maybe.
First circle, third circle?
I can't remember.
But it was a circle in
Brenton Hills. It's a great neighborhood.
It's a great neighborhood. I love those homes. Are very spacious. Now, I would tell you, as we're getting into valuation, well, I'll finish smoking hot deal there. Tell them one more time where it is.
It is in Brenton Hills at 520 Northwest 155th Circle. $385,000.
And to see any of the smoking hot deals or any of our favorites, go to BeckyIvins.com, BeckyIvins.com, and just click on search to find the deals. click on Becky's Favorites to click on Becky's Favorites.
Or call us and we'll set up your own search to where you're looking, because you're not going to be looking for the same thing everybody else right. is looking for. You're going to want something that fits you and your family. So we will set up a search and kind of narrow that down for you. And if you're looking over $1 million, we won't send you that shabby stuff at $900,000.
No way. None of that shabby stuff for you. So talking about value in Bradenton Hills. So I remember, I don't know, a couple years back, I was taking a seller in. We were looking at the one we ended up purchasing within that community. They wanted it in the community. And a home there had redone the interior of it. They had gone full HGTV with chandeliers. There were 15 chandeliers inside of this. It was about a 4,000 square foot home. Well, the chandelier, I mean, you had to be a great lover of chandeliers to buy that home. They've spent a lot of money on, I mean, all sorts of size. So when that comes along, are those chandeliers worth all the money that was spent on them?
They're not even worth a small percentage of the money spent on them unless you find the one person that would value your choice of chandeliers, not just chandeliers, but your particular choice of chandeliers. So when you personalize your home, you add very little, if any, value to it. Now, when you upgrade the finishes of your home, you do add some value, but I watch almost all of the Love It or List It shows. And I think those are on HGTV. And I find it peculiar how folks are attached to the structure in which they live. I mean, you move your home with you because that's your family, your values. Your home is something, your house is what you put your home in. Right?
Whoa, very philosophical.
Well, and that's the way I look at it, though. However, some people don't look at it like that. Some people look at that structure as their home. And I can see that a little bit more if it was a homestead farm, ranch, right. something to where they've added their
it's
ancestors.
It's been generational.
Yeah. They have actually made their living off the land or something like that.
Sure.
But on those... Though even the HGTV stuff, they will typically have $100,000, $150,000 in some range in there. And if you spend $100,000, the home usually increases in value about $105,000. And they've moved out of their home for 2 months and then moved back in. So what's it cost you to move out of your home and back in? More than $5,000.
Yeah.
So it's not 100% payback even.
Yeah.
If they spend $150,000, they might go up $15,000 and get $165,000 increase in value. There are very, very few things that will bring you back 100% of the money you put into it. So people ask me what to do. Sometimes you just almost always, I say, just declutter and clean up everything and put a sharp edge on your lawn.
Yeah. Just that little sweat put into just clearing out the clutter is the number one, because people can't see their stuff in your home when your stuff is all in the way. And there's so many often that we see like bathrooms and kitchen areas that have been redone and being redone beautifully, but they don't necessarily increase the price of the home significantly.
I have to say a few things. You're not going to increase the price of your home by putting granite on the kitchen island if you left the popcorn ceilings on there. You know?
The mismatching within a home kind of has, I've heard you talk about it, Becky, there's a little bit of a domino. Like, it's sometimes better to leave it as is or do the full domino.
Well, the thing is if you have you don't want to do anything to a property expecting to get the money back. You can make it more sellable, but not more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our word of the day today. you know, valuable. It's not more your choices are not more valuable to other people than their choice would be.
Yeah.
And when you redo a part of a house, the rest of it just looks more dingy and outdated. So keep that in mind, that it's better just to have a clean slate with no clutter in it than it is to concentrate. And of course, I walk into homes and people will go, well, I'm going to paint this room. And I'm thinking, how are you ever going to get to the walls? There is stuff piled everywhere. So, I mean, don't think about paint. Think about just staging it as though it was already painted beautifully.
Yeah.
And then have it look real good. You know, it's better to have a skinny, what do you call it when it's sparsely decorated?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have as much stuff in it.
It's better to have it just kind of clean look, not as much stuff.
Right.
Most often than not, we're telling people, take stuff off the shelf, right?
And take stuff off the walls, because you have a whole wall of pictures that you got of your family on vacation.
Uh-huh.
The buyer, what do they see? Holes in the wall. They see a lot of holes in that wall. Yeah. They don't see your pictures.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about selling or just considering it coming up and you're having your mind, I need to paint, I need to change carpet, I need to do X, Y, and Z, what I encourage is just call us.
Judy and I spend our time doing that, actually. We will go from home to home. We'll give you our individual assessment. We're both extremely experienced at this and very much in tune with what is selling and what is dragging out on the market for too long.
Yeah, and Judy Olson is Becky's listing partner, and they're both fantastic about coming to meeting with you and sharing the knowledge of what you need to do. You can give us a call at 722-3232. That's the office number.
So what should you list your house for? What you think it's going to appraise for. The market will take it up higher if there's demand for it. So base your list price on appraisal value, and then let the market take it up because there is more demand than there is supply.
Hopefully today you've heard a lot of great information about your house. If you need anything that can be helpful to pricing your home, call us at 722-3232. Thanks for being with us on this July 4th weekend. Have a wonderful and safe holiday weekend. Thanks for being with us. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.